Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthews, I am of course Wayne Memo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, well, how's it going, man?
Not much, man. Glad to have you on the show.
Hey, glad to be on here as usual.
Thank you, man. And thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out this show. On today's show of Sports Urban Legend, we're going to be talking about the Knicks. You know, their resurgence this year. We'll talk about the Nets. They're just dominating basketball, you know, as we speak. We'll also talk about, you know, baseball, how the spring training is coming along, and, you know, the New York teams are getting ready for, you know, the upcoming season. And then, you know, last but not least, we'll talk about WWE. You know, the Lashley, you know, era is upon us. You know, a recap about the AEW pay-per-view event. And then, of course, the shocking turn of MJF on the Inner Circle and then forming his own faction. But most importantly, you know, we'd love to hear from you. And then the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So if you'd like to, you know, share your thoughts on any of these topics or more, you know, we'd love to hear from you. But with that said, let's talk about the Knicks, man. And yeah, the Knicks, man. You know, a very good comeback win by the Knicks. You know, they lost the first game by the Bucks. They got blown out, you know, by at least 30 points. And, you know, which was, I mean, them losing to the Bucks was not a surprise. But the way how they lost, man, it was vintage post-Ewing Knicks fashion of them getting blown out. But, you know, the Knicks, you know, they did upset the Bucks earlier this season. So, you know, the Bucks was going to wake up on them, you know, because nobody's sleeping on the Knicks anymore, you know. They know this, you know, the Knicks, you know, they're going to play defense, you know, they're going to share the ball, they're going to score. And it's not going to be a cakewalk like how it's been for practically 20 years, you know, with the exception of that, the Jason Kidd Knicks team. You know, that's literally the only team we can draw as the gold standard for the modern day Knicks. You know, but yeah, shout out to Randall bouncing back from his horrible start a few days ago. You know, and basically, he only scored 7 points that game, but. You know, he only scored 7 points in that game, but today he rebounded, and he got his second triple double of this season. You know, so props
pretty
to him.
Well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Barrett had a very good game.
Yeah, RJ Barrett had a career high scoring 32 points, and yeah, back. To Randall. Randall, he had 26 points, 12 rebounds, and 12 assists, which he became the first Knick since, Mark Jackson to have multiple triple-doubles in a season in the 1988-89 season. And apparently, this is what Randall said. Yeah, they told me that. As far as the Mark Jackson thing, so it's cool to be in that conversation or be part of that conversation is really cool. Obviously, the Knicks have so much history and tradition. So to be a part of that is obviously a blessing for sure. And he's absolutely right, man. He's been a blessing to the Knicks this year, you know. And props to RJ Barrett, you know, having a career high. You know, he finally got over that 30-point plateau. You know, he's been on scored 28, maybe even 29. The kid, but he seemed like he can never get over that 30-point plateau until today. So, you know, congrats to RJ Barrett.
Yeah, 32 points. Had a very good shooting night. Yeah, I mean, he's had a very good year.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to get even better.
Mm-hmm. Didn't quickly have like 20 something points as well? Maybe 24 points? I'm gonna have to look for that.
I'll have to check to see. He may have had like, yes, 21, 20 something points. Yeah, I think you're right. Quickly has been playing amazing off the bench. You know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of Knicks fans want him to start.
Mm-hmm.
Rightfully so. I mean, you know, when he's on the floor, he makes things happen.
Absolutely. 100%. He makes things happen.
He looks like a guy that used to live on the sixth floor of my building.
Mm-hmm.
No, seriously, there's a guy that used to look like him. A guy in my building, he used to smoke a lot of weed and get crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt that's quickly.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations to Quickly, man. He's quickly becoming a fan favorite.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, props to the Knicks, man. They got to keep this good momentum going. And now they're 20-19. So, yeah, they got to keep it going, man. They're moving in the right direction. But, as you know, they're not the hottest team in New York. And, the Nets, they win again. James Harden, you know, it must be a buy one, triple double, get one free day because, you know, Randall had one and now James Harden has one as well. I mean, he has, James Harden had his ninth triple double and, you know, he had 24 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. And I think Randall's one, 12 assists was a career high also. But yeah, this was like I think his ninth triple double with the Nets already, and he has 55 for his career. You know, and the Nets improved to 26-13. You know, they won 12 of their last 16 games, and they're like a half game behind the 76ers for the East, the lead in the East. Kyrie Irving has 18 points. Landry Shamet had 15 off the bench, and DeAndre Jordan had 14 points. So you know, props to the Nets. And I think prior to that, they had Irving scored like 40 points, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they're playing very well, and KD is still injured right now.
Mm-hmm.
So just think
yeah.
when he comes back, they'll be even better.
Absolutely, yeah. Kyrie Irving, a few days ago, he scored 40 points against his former team, the Celtics, and he led the Nets to the 121-109 final score. But tonight, you know, this is basically the James Harden show, and you know, because of his ninth triple double. The Nets were able to defeat the Detroit Pistons by the final score of 195. So, yeah, the Nets, man, this might be the best Nets team of all time at this rate. Yeah, well, I think this is going to be the second time we're going to invoke Jason Kidd's name. Because Jason Kidd is like, he's like the gold standard, I guess, for both franchises now in the modern era, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
this that team they're playing really well, you know. But again, you know, how they fare, how we judge them will be based on how they perform in the postseason.
Mm-hmm. Worst case scenario, they have to go to the NBA Finals.
With this team, yeah.
They're too. Anything other than an NBA Finals appearance is a failure.
Yeah.
On epic proportions. Like, they have to. And the Nets Big Three, you know, they're among the finalists to be named, you know, in the Olympics, the U.S. Olympic team. So we'll see. They're gonna be there. Well, you know, they all play together in the 2012 gold medalist version of the Olympics in 2012. And then, of course, Kyrie Irving won it as well in 2016. So, you know, props to them.
Yeah, they're looking like world beaters right now, you know, mm-hmm. especially now. The Sixers, they just had an injury. Joel Embiid, you know, just suffered a leg injury, so he might miss some time. And the Sixers were currently in first place. But if Embiid is going to be out for a while, then, you know, the Nets are definitely going to overtake them for that first spot.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, for America's Olympic state, they hope the Net players are world beaters. That way we could, you know, win another gold medal.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. And the Olympics, barring anything unforeseen, it's going to start July 23rd. You know, because obviously they're a year behind because of, you know, they had to postpone it because of COVID. I'm hoping that after this year, if everything goes as planned, that, you know, they'll start in 3 years from now instead of making it, you know, start on an odd number, because that way I'll be back to it will right the ship of it being on an odd number. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because if they continue it 3 years from now, it'll be on what? Let me do the math in my head. What, 2024? So if it's on 2024, then it's 2028. Everything is back on schedule. But if you continue it on, you know, 4 years from now, it'll be 2025 instead of 2024, and then it'll be out of whack. So hopefully they'll make the right decision. I mean, it's just a little nitpicking, but to get things back on track, that's what they should do. But we'll see what happens. Let's move on to, you know, spring training. Before I get into the Mets the Mets, you know, how they did today. Even though obviously it's spring training, it's, you know, basically meaningless. But, the Mets were in the news. And basically they were doing this 27-out practice on the field. And basically after the 27-out, I think their base running coaches or something like that, or outfield coach, I forgot what his title is, from Tony Tarasco, a name that's very familiar to both Mets and Yankee fans, you know. Obviously, he was a brief Met. And did he briefly play for the Yankees? I'm not sure. But I know, in 96, you know, he put Jeffrey Mayer's name on the map when he tried to catch that ball in the outfield.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jeffrey Mayer, you know, he became a Yankee hero by being an outfielder, unofficial outfielder, you know. So, you know, so basically, it apparently was his idea that if they made 27 perfect outs in a row, which was the Mets defense, you know, that's a feat within itself, you know. You know, especially these past couple of years, you know, they've been having players out of position, so they haven't had the best defensive alignment, you know, in years. And that's unfortunately what, you know, made them lose the 2015, you know, World Series to the Royals. So, you know, hopefully the Mets defense can play, you know, miraculously great or somewhat above average, you know, because you got your best first baseman playing left field, defensive first baseman playing left field, and, you know, third base, you know, J.D. Davis, he's, you know, he's streaky on and off the field, at the plate and off the plate. You know, you don't know what you're going to get from him. Brandon Nimmo, he's attempting to try to improve his defense because he's not going to play as, you know, shallow as he's been over the years. So hopefully that'll improve his defense. But yeah, we'll see what happens with the Mets. I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, what was your, before I get to the, you know, how the Mets have been doing in spring training lately? What's your thoughts on the, you know, the Mets practicing? You know, what it would be like to win the World Series?
I mean, maybe you should get there first before anything. You know, I mean, that's setting very high expectations, you know, mm-hmm. and thinking way ahead. Yeah, I don't know about that. You know, that's, you should wait until you get there before anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's good to be optimistic, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
give
I agree
you something
with you.
To look forward to, and, you know, maybe you might achieve it.
Yeah, I understand, you know, they feel like, hey, if they visualize it, it can, you know, they can achieve it. I get that whole positive mindset. But, yeah, like, wait until it happens, you know. And another thing, what I'm more worried about is that they could seriously get themselves hurt. Jumping
yeah.
up and down, you know. And it's not even, shoot, at least if it was the real World Series, it would be like, okay, well, just worry about the injuries in the off season. At least they got a title. But they're jumping up and down in spring training. It's not even a spring training game. It's a workout.
Yeah.
Like they got hopefully the next time they do that will be after game 7 of the World Series, because
let's hope so.
And not on the golf field, you know, on the actual baseball field, you know, so. But yeah, they have a long way to go, man. But, you know, the Mets, I mean, they're making strides in the right direction. Stroman, I mean, he pitched well in spring training, I think, on Friday.
I heard DeGrom was lights out the other day.
Oh, yeah. He had, like, 3 perfect innings.
Yeah.
And Yamamoto.
Didn't he have 7 strikeouts or something like that?
I think so. If I understand me right, I think you're right. I think he did have 7 strikeouts. Yamamoto, a guy who they traded for in the offseason, he went 3 1/3 innings. I think he gave up 1 earned run. Apparently he pitched well. Even Diaz pitched well. Diaz has pitched well so far in this you know, spring training and the second half of last year. But until it happens in the regular season, I'm not gonna believe it, man. I still don't trust Diaz. You know, he has to prove it in front of the fans and for the season for me to be like, okay, he's back to what he was with the Mariners. You know, so yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Shifting gears to the Yankees, how would you have felt if the Yankees would have did something similar to that?
I still wouldn't want them to do that, because especially considering that these this team has had injuries, a lot of injuries,
mm-hmm.
the past several years. So I just think you should wait until you get there. You know?
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you.
You know, this whole visualization thing, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's too optimistic, you know.
You're gonna visualize yourself in the IL, or formerly known as the DL.
DL, yeah. Wait, that's where you get there.
Yeah, man. And what was the point of them changing the name from DL to IL? Is it injury? Yeah, it's IL, right?
Yeah, right now it's IO. I guess it's probably, you know, insensitive to, like, people who are actually disabled.
Oh, you know? I never even thought of it in that way, to be honest with you. Because it's confusing, because IL is, you know, supposed to be symbol, you know, initials for interleague.
Right.
You know? So when they used to say IL, it was always like interleague.
Right.
But
right.
now it's, yeah. And that's kind of confusing. Like, you know what? I guess the whole team is in the IL now. You know? Like, shoot. Or even independent league with the minors. So, but, you know, it is what it is, you know. But yeah, it looks like Jay Bruce might make your club. Guy looks like he's been hitting some home runs, or at least a home run this
yeah. I heard about that. Yeah, you know, the Yankees have been playing good in spring training so far, and the pitchers have been pitching well. You know, Talon, I think what's his name went today. Getting his name already that we got from the Indians. Former ace.
Oh, Kluber.
Kluber, yeah, he pitched today. I didn't see his stats. Pitchers, they look sharp. Jared Cole, he pitched great the other day. You know, so
your cousin, he went deep for a 3-run home run.
Oh yeah, DJ LeMahieu, yeah. Best hitter in baseball right now, in my opinion. So, yeah, hopefully these guys can carry it into the regular season. When does the regular season start again?
The Mets one is April 1st. The Yankees, I would assume, would probably be 31st or April 1st. But let me go check quickly to.
Okay.
Let's see. Yep. Let me just confirm that just to make sure. Yes, it's there. It's April 1st. They're going to be hosting the Blue Jays.
Okay. Should be a fun game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. You know, they're going to be you're going to be facing your boy who you're very familiar with, George Springer, a guy who should have been a Met, but too little too late now. So.
Yeah, he definitely should have been a Met. But, you know, it is what it is.
That's the guy that's the number one guy they shouldn't have let go. But
yeah,
they should have pushed harder. I mean, they did go after him, but apparently that extra year, they weren't willing to go that far for him. So hopefully, for the Mets' sake and my fellow Mets fans, it doesn't bite us in the behind, you know. But we'll see what happens. Mets, they start their season April 1st on the road against the Washington Nationals, and of course we all know Jacob DeGrom is going to be starting that game. You know, against Scherzer. I mean, as long as he's healthy. I presume he's still healthy, so you're gonna have that ace matchup that we've had for the past couple of years, you know, Scherzer versus DeGrom. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully Mets history of dominating the regular the opening day will continue, because oddly enough, the Mets won the World Series in 69 before they won their first ever opening day in 1970. So.
Oh, that's an interesting stat.
So hopefully the Mets can continue being the best statistically, you know, team in opening day history. But we'll see what happens. Let me see. What else can I talk about? You know what? Let's talk about Okay, let's talk about WWE. Why not? What did you think about the rematch between Bobby Lashley and Miz?
You know, I actually ended up falling asleep during that match. You know, so I didn't even get to see it, but I assume that Lashley retained the title, right?
If you sneezed, you would have missed that match.
Yeah, well, which I did.
You know,
I sneezed, so I ended up missing it, but yeah, I mean, how did that match go?
It was pretty similar to the other match, you know, the last week's match. You know, basically, Miz cut a promo about, you know, that he was forced to defend his title even though he had stomach cramps and you know, all that stuff. You know, he cut a promo, and then afterwards, you know, the match happened, and basically it was like deja vu. Deja vu all over again. Isn't that Yogiism?
I think so. I think it would be, yeah.
So, yeah, that's basically what happened. Yeah, he just dominated. I'm trying to think what else happened. Oh yeah, you didn't see the Bobby Lashley's intro. It, like he has like this new lightning effect to his intro. You didn't see that part.
I'm trying to remember. No, I don't think I saw that.
Man, you fell asleep from the beginning. Maybe when they were giving all the recaps, you fell asleep.
Yeah, because that wasn't that match near the end? End of the show?
No, I think was it in the beginning? I think it was in the beginning. I think that's what led off the show.
I'm trying to remember now, like, what part. Maybe I did see it, and I'm forgetting now.
That's raw-itis, man. You watch the whole episode, right? You're like, what the heck happened? I don't even remember what happened.
Yeah.
Like, you literally can't remember what happened on Raw. By the time Saturday comes, it's like you can't even remember.
Yeah, usually SmackDown is fresh in my memory. That was,
it's like watching
yesterday.
Yeah, I know. It's like, and plus, you know, SmackDown tends to be better than Raw in recent history.
Yeah.
And not to mention, you don't have to waste 8 hours watching Raw and their recaps of you know, Randy Orton watching a recap of him vomiting the black disgusting thing out of his mouth, which I assume is blood or whatever.
Yeah.
Stuff that is. I mean, like, it's just a weird feud. I mean, it's pointless without Bray Wyatt there, it's done. Like, there's no point to continue this feud. It's the same crap, literally the same crap that spews out his mouth every week. It's the same crap that they keep shoving down our throat. That same disgusting thing, man. It's just, I'm done with this whole feud. Like, until he comes back, there's no point to this feud.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a dumb feud. I just don't get it. It just doesn't make any sense.
So this match that they had, the Lashley and the Miz match on Raw,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That was in a handicap match. No, not a handicap. I mean, it was a lumberjack match like last week.
No. It was just one on one.
Okay.
MVP was there, you know, obviously as his manager. What's his name? Morrison was there too.
Okay.
But yeah, it was just the same old, you know, put him in the hurt lock, made him tap out, you know.
Domination.
Mm-hmm. And Drew McIntyre was watching the match backstage. Oh, and then Drew McIntyre got attacked by Sheamus. So him and Sheamus had another rematch again, back-to-back weeks again. You know, it's like, this is the road to WrestleMania, but they're on reruns on all new episodes. They're having rematches of the previous week episode. And this is the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
The road to WrestleMania, you're having recaps of the same exact match. Like, they're literally unoriginal. This might be one of the worst road to WrestleManias ever. I mean, they have some good storylines. I'll give them that. Sasha versus Bianca Belair, that's a good storyline. Which, you know, Sasha Banks is showing that she is, you know, she's in, you know, she's turning heel. Who lost that match? Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair tag team in a match against a rematch. Stop me if you haven't heard that word before. A rematch between Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. Except this time, she has, you know, Nia Jax has her new boo Reginald, you know, as their mascot now.
And she thinks she's cute.
Yep. It's basically like that storyline with the Viking Raiders.
Yeah.
When every week somebody keeps saying he's one of those guys, Eric or Ibar is cute. it's like the Wonder Years. They just keep focusing on people thinking somebody's cute.
Yeah.
What's next? They're gonna show someone writing a note like those. Do you like me? You know, or, you know, those kind of, or you pluck a flower, she loves me not, or something like that, like, stuff, man. Oh, yeah, so they lost that match because Reginald distracted Bianca Belair, and I think Shayna Baszler got the pinfall. Oh, yeah, another thing, wait, that's SmackDown. Trying to think what else happened. What were you going to say?
Oh, no, I was trying to think also what happened. Didn't Andrade get released recently? Or actually?
Oh,
released?
No, apparently he wants to be released.
WWE probably going to grant it.
Well, apparently WWE didn't grant it.
Hmm.
Maybe he wanted to, his release to be granted because he feels like WWE has taken him for granted.
Yeah, I mean, they could use this guy so much more better than they've, you know, it's wasted talent right there.
Mm-hmm.
Use this guy better.
Yeah, man, if they got Big Show leaving the company, Big Show, Christian, and Jericho left the company, like, come on now.
Yeah,
those dudes were in the company for 20-something years, and then they all left the company. I mean, Christian did leave for TNA briefly, but yeah, I mean, like, these are WWE guys that they just let them go, you know?
I know.
Because they're not treating them right. They are misusing these people.
Yeah, Andrade, he could have been a big superstar.
Exactly. Andrade, he got like the coolest. He got like a move that should be his finisher. He has that, like that fake kick into that elbow smash move he does. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That should be his finisher.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now I think that. If for some reason he is released, I think that they're saying that it could be AEW or Impact or NJWP.
Oh, on the new Japan.
New Japan.
Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he would go to AEW to be honest with you, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's where most people are going these days.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, so, yeah, SmackDown, they did the contract signing. And, you know, obviously, Daniel Bryan's going to be fighting Roman Reigns at Fastlane, I think, next Sunday. And then at the end of the show, you know, Daniel Bryan did the running knee on Edge. You know.
Well, yeah.
To end the show. So it looks like they might be teasing a triple threat match with that.
Yeah, that's what's gonna happen.
So it's most likely gonna be a screwy ending at the end of Fastlane for them to have this triple threat match. Oh yeah, another thing is they're gonna have a match, Edge and trying to think who. Edge versus Jey Uso to determine who's going to be the special guest referee for the match. Which you know is going to be Edge. Edge is going to win that match.
Yeah, it's going to be Edge.
Mm-hmm. It kind of reminded me of that match, the Fatal 4-Way at WrestleMania, between The Rock, Triple H, Mankind, and Big Show.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
When they had Mankind versus Big Show to determine who's going to be the special guest referee for a match that he had or something like that.
Yeah, I remember.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. My fault. That was WrestleMania 15, the year before that.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was Rock versus Stone Cold, and then they had Mankind versus Big Show to determine who's going to be the referee. And, of course, Mankind would be the referee.
Wasn't that WrestleMania 17?
No, WrestleMania 15. That was WrestleMania 15. The year after was the Fatal 4-Way between, Rock, Triple H, Big Show, and Mankind. Which, you know, WrestleMania 16 is, you know, better known as WrestleMania 2000.
I see.
Because, you know, it came out in 2000.
Right.
But, yeah, I can't think of anything else that stood out on Raw for me. Or SmackDown, for that case.
I guess the Randy Orton thing, you know, when is the Fiend going to come out?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, is he going to fight Alexa Bliss at WrestleMania? Like,
that'd be stupid. Then there's no way they're going to do that.
Or is he going to have a female fighter? She has to be, I don't know, she's with the Fiend going right now, you know, it's been just her playing mind games with Randy Orton. And so, do you have Randy Orton bring, like, some girl or some a female wrestler to, like, be her
ass?
Yeah,
but he's not cool. But he's a loner. He's not cool with anybody. That's the problem.
Right.
It goes against his character.
Right.
It's like Baron Corbin. Those guys are loners. So it just doesn't make sense for him to be aligned with anybody.
Right.
So yeah. This whole feud is pointless, to be honest with you. Like they need to move on. Like I can't even think of any positive scenario for this feud. It's just a dumb idea. It's literally the same thing regurgitated. And then spewed out every week.
Yep.
Just like his disgusting thing that he spews out his mouth every week. Pointless. And way over the top. I can't even think of anything else. Just a Raw and SmackDown. Guess I'll move on to NXT and AEW. NXT, they revealed there's a new NXT Women's tag team title belt, and they awarded it to Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez because they were supposed to fight against Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, but those ladies pulled the Miz from last week and ran away with the titles without really defending the title. So then William Regal announced to start the show, you know, with all the women standing outside of the ring, you know, near the entrance. And then that's when they made the announcement that there's a new inaugural NXT Women's Tag Team titles, which, you know, they were awarded. And then afterwards, Ember Rose and Shotzi Blackheart challenged the new champions to a belt, which they defeated Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai and became the new tag team champions, NXT Women Tag Team Champions. So, congratulations to those ladies.
This NXT event, that was a. Oh no, I'm thinking about AEW, the AEW
mm-hmm.
event. That was a two-nighter. Yeah,
I'm about to dive right into that very soon. I'm trying to think what else happened. Next week I think it's going to be Finn Balor versus Adam Cole for the NXT title. I'm trying to think what else happened.
Be nice to see Finn Balor come back to Raw or SmackDown, but doesn't look like that'll happen anytime soon.
Yeah, he's the NXT champion.
Yeah. Love to see him come back on Raw or you know, SmackDown, make an appearance or something.
Yeah, I think he must be bored or something.
Because wasn't he the one that wanted to go back down to NXT?
Yeah.
So...
Wait, did the match happen this week or something? I'm trying to remember. Did they fight this week? And I can't remember.
Possible.
I mean, maybe it did happen. If they fought this week, then Finn Balor won. I just can't even remember because that ended the show, I think.
So they already fought?
It's possible. Let me double check. Let's see. Yeah, NXT, yeah, he did fight. They did fight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, NXT, yeah. Finn Balor defended the title against Adam Cole successfully. Io Shirai retained the title against Toni Storm, her longtime rival. Let's see what else happened. Pete Dunne defeated Jake Atlas. Kaden Carter, she fought against Xia Li, but Xia Li won because Casey Catanzaro, she used her crutches because Xia Li personally injured her on purpose, and she was going to injure her best friend Kaden, so she took her crutches and smashed Xia Li with it to get the disqualification. Grizzle Young veterans, did they defeat? I'm trying to remember what the heck happened. Grizzly Young veteran, they lost to Legado de la Fantasma. And then, try saying that five times fast. and then Finn Balor defeated Adam Cole. And then I think Roderick Strong, I think, attacked Adam Cole afterwards, after the match, his former Undisputed Era member, after Adam Cole super kicked them like last week and I think maybe 2 weeks ago, so I can't remember. Yes, but now let's get into the AEW. The big news that happened in AEW. I guess let me talk about the pay-per-view first before I go into the show. So, yes, let's see. At the AEW event last week, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and Maki Ito, she defeated Riho and Thunder Rosa in a tag team match. The Young Bucks defeated the Inner Circle, Chris Jericho and MJF, for the tag team to retain the AEW Tag Team Championships. I was wrong about that one. I should have saw that one coming with, you know, the Inner Circle attacking Young Buck's father, real-life father. I should have saw that the heroes would have had a, you know, a victory in that one. But I thought maybe they would have kept this feud going. But looks like that feud is definitely done, which we'll get into that.
I gotta watch the replays.
Ray Phoenix, you know, he won the Casino Tag Team Royale, and as a result, he will win a future AEW World Tag Team Championship match. I presume with trying to think of Neville's name, Pac, formerly known as Neville in WWE. Then for the AEW Women's Championship, Hikaru Shida defeated Ryu Mizunami. Tag team match, Miro and Kip Sabian defeated Best Friends, which is, you know, has Orange Cassidy and Chuck Taylor via submission. As expected, Hangman Adam Page defeated Big Money Matt Hardy. And as a result, he has the first quarter of Matt Hardy's 2021 first quarter earnings. Scorpio Sky defeated Cody Rhodes, Penta El Zero Miedo, Lance Archer, Max Caster, formerly known as Bobby Lashley's sister, one of his three sisters, and Ethan Page in the Face of the Revolution ladder match for a future AEW NXT championship match. Presumably against Darby Allin, who's still the reigning champion right now. And speaking of Darby Allin, him and Sting defeated Team Taz, which has Brian Cage and Ricky Starks in the street fight. And, you know, Sting won his first match since 2015, which would be that tag team match he had with the Big Show. No, it was a tag team match he had with John Cena versus the Big Show, and I can't even remember who the other person was in that match. So, yeah, because remember, Sting never won a pay-per-view event in WWE. He lost to WrestleMania to Triple H. He won the tag team match with John Cena versus Big Show, and I can't even remember who the other person was. And then, of course, the infamous Seth Rollins championship match, WWE championship match, which ended Sting's WWE career. So congratulations to Sting. Just already in a short time, AEW is using him way better than WWE ever did.
Oh, yeah. Love that about that.
So congrats to him. And then last but not least, talk about controversy. I don't know if you've seen the highlights or the lowlights, but Kenny Omega defeated Jon Moxley in an exploding barbed wire death match for the AEW World Championship. You have to see the last footage. You have to see the footage of it.
Oh, yeah. I gotta check that out.
Yeah. Basically, you know, it was supposed to be like this epic death match, this epic exploding barbed wire death match, and then basically Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers were beating him up, Jon Moxley up, and then, you know, like with like a minute to go before the bomb went off, because apparently there was no way to defuse the bomb. I mean, not Dean Ambrose. Well, now he's known as Jon Moxley. He was beaten up in the ring, and his former friend Eddie Kingston, you know, surprisingly had a face turn, came to try to rescue Jon Moxley before it blew up and pull him out of the ring. But as the time was running out, he lied right on top of Jon Moxley to take the blow of the explosion from him. And when it exploded, it was like Gilbert's sprinkler fireworks kind of thing, sparkly firework things that happen. You know how Gibbard has the fireworks?
Yeah, that's the spark. That's Sparky entrance, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, that's what it, you know, Mike and Goldberg. That's exactly what it looked like.
Oh,
you thought it was gonna be this massive WWE intro entrance, like welcome to SmackDown, welcome to Raw, and you see these pyrotechnic. Nope. All you see is like this little tiny sprinkler fire pyro pop up with a little bit of smoke, not even enough to ring the smoke detector. And basically, it was a bust. It was a bust, man. The explosion was. Man, it was the talk of the town, but not in a good way. And they were hyping it up for weeks. You know, they showed promos of Kenny Omega working, you know, acting like he's building the chamber. You know, I think he called it the extermination chamber or something, for John Moxley, and you know he's acting like he's building the thing. So at the end of the match, you know, John Moxley breaks character and blames, what's his name, Kenny Omega for making the crappy, you know, the chamber with the explosive and stuff like that. So then afterwards on AEW Dynamite on Wednesday, he cuts a promo with Eddie Kingston. They're sitting down drinking, I'm assuming, like whiskey. And basically, you know, they were just talking about the debacle of the event, you know. And basically, then you know, Kenny Omega did a promo with his manager Don Callis, and he, you know, they were mocking, you know, John Moxley and Eddie Kingston. And the whole debacle of the event. So, you know, that's going to set up a future feud with, you know, I mean, you know, a continuation of their feud. I'm trying to think what else happened on. Oh, yes. Right. The biggest thing that happened in the AEW. So basically, they were going to have a town hall inner circle meeting with all the members. So basically, they were talking, you know, basically almost all the members were there. There was Jericho, Santana, Ortiz, Jake Hager, I'm trying to think who else, and of course MJF. So then Sammy Guevara, the former member of Inner Circle, came out and basically, you know, he was risking getting, you know, beat up by Jericho because Jericho, you know, always looked to him, you know, thought of himself as a father figure to Sammy Guevara. And basically, you know, he was like, what are you doing here? You know, last week I told you were dead to me and stuff like that. So then Sammy Guevara was like, hear me out. You know, I want you to see this footage. So basically they show a footage of, you know, all the members of the inner circle, I think minus Wardlow, and they were talking to, MJF was saying like, yeah, man, you know, this is our time. We gotta, you know, kick out Jericho and stuff like that. So then basically, then all the other members, so then, MJF is like, I'm sorry, Jericho. I didn't want you to find out about it like this through this way, but get them, boys. So then all the guys were going towards Jericho to beat him up, and then they all turned around and revealed that they're still with Jericho. So then Jericho had his bat in his hand, and he was going to, you know, smash MJF and, you know, basically kicked them out of the group. So then MJF is lying on the bottom of the turnbuckle, like, looking like he's about to get sting-faced by Rikishi. And basically, he's like, Jericho, I swear, I wasn't gonna take over your you know, the inner circle. Okay. And then he said, I promise you, I wasn't gonna take over the inner circle because I have my own group. And then everything turned to black as if Bray Wyatt was going to pop up and attack them. So then after, once they revealed, they made the big reveal, then they revealed that the new faction that was previewed last week was that MJF was the one that was running, the one that was pulling the strings. So basically, FTR, formerly known as The Revival, with Tully Blanchard, Sean Spears, formerly known as Ty Dillinger in WWE, Wardlow, and, you know, they're all part of MGS group. So then they put a beat down on the Inner Circle. And then Wardlow did a, you know, oh yeah, Jericho was bleeding. His head was bleeding. You would have thought it was like an ECW match or something, which Jericho was part of that as well. And, yeah, Wardlow powerbombed them off the stage through a table off the set. And that's how AEW went off the air. So, crazy ending. I wasn't expecting it. Apparently, the rumor is that the so far unnamed group is going to be called the Pinnacle. But yeah, it was surprising. I didn't think they were going to have the you know, they were going to break up, you know, kick MJF out of the group so quickly. You know, after they lost their tag team title opportunity against the Young Bucks. And then the other big reveal that he's the leader of that, of the new faction, believed to be named, you know, the Pinnacle. So it's crazy. Looking forward to see what happened with that. Mac, you still here?
Yeah. Repeat that again.
What happened?
Repeat that.
Repeat what?
Repeat. You cut out there.
What was the last thing you heard me say? What was the last thing you heard me say?
About your plug-in after the TNA, the AEW.
Oh, basically, you know, I'm saying I'm looking forward to what's gonna happen with MJF's new faction, supposedly named the Pinnacle. So, looking forward to what goes down on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I'll have to watch the replay of that and look at that show that I missed.
Cool. Well, you have anything, you know, any last things you'd like to say before we head out of here?
I don't know. Just come back, check out Sports Urban Legend, and come back. Well, check out my show, iMac. Just check your local listings.
All right, you heard the man. Check out his show, iMac. Check out your local listings. Check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. And come back next week. Check out Sports Urban Legend with your host, William Ramel. And I'll see you guys next week. So, again, thank you for watching this latest episode of Sports Urban Legend. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramel. And I'll see you guys next week. Peace.